You are tuned into Lightly on the Ground Radio, produced for Richmond Independent Radio and broadcast on WRIR LP 97.3 and worldwide at WRIR.org. We're exploring our food system, which includes everything from farm to table. It extends from a seed in a farmer's hand to a bill in the hands of those making policy on the local, national, and worldwide fronts. While we're talking local, the ideas are pertinent to any food system. This is Sunny Gardner for Lightly on the Ground Radio here in the live room at Richmond Independent Radio. This is part of a series on economic democracy. It began during an encounter with Dada Mahareshvarananda and Clark Webb. As Dada says, we are looking to the future and how we can improve our lots by working in cooperation rather than competition. Susan Hill and Cheryl Marshak are here to tell a story about economic democracy, a local story, the Richmond Food Co-op. Welcome. Thank you for coming, Susan.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Yeah, thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you.
And now co-ops have been around for ages, and over half the people in the world, I just learned, are actually involved in co-ops. And there's so many different forms. There's farm co-ops, and there's mutual assurance societies and credit unions and food co-ops, building co-ops, artist co-ops, and all that. Would you introduce yourselves a little by just telling us the first co-op you ever got involved in?
Sure. Well, I was living in New York. I grew up here in Richmond, but I've been living in New York most recently. And I was first introduced to the Park Slope Food Co-op, which is in Brooklyn. And it's one of the oldest and largest in the country. And I have to say, I was never actually a member. I lived about an hour and a half away from it at the top of Manhattan. But I had friends who were members. Michelle Lord, my co-founder and our board chair, was a member there for about 5 years. So that was my first introduction into food cooperatives and cooperatives in general.
Mm-hmm. And you, Cheryl?
Well, when I was in college, I joined a buying club food co-op that was called Exodus. And it was down, operated out of the Woody Guthrie Community Center, if I remember correctly. And it didn't last very long. And then not long after that, I think in 1977, I joined Cornucopia Cooperative, and that was a buying club also that later developed into a storefront.
And there's quite a history in Richmond around co-ops.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The word that keyed me in was economic democracy, and when they were used together, it perked me up, and I set out to learn more. And that led to that author, Dada Mahareshvarananda. And he wrote a book called After Capitalism, Economic Democracy in Action. And he was coming to town, and he said he'd be happy to visit and speak about the whole cooperative work worldwide. And he asks us to imagine a world, or at least a community, where people cooperate to produce everything they need, from food to healthcare to funerals. Now, we had a co-op way in the past, and there are various buying clubs and farmers markets and things now. But if you're going through a lot of process in building this co-op. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be well-founded. What effect do you think that the Richmond Food Co-op will have on the food system in Richmond?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. Well, I feel like we're filling a void and a need that hasn't been met in the city. We're not here to replace farmers markets or other options, other outlets for local food. We just want to enhance people's ability to buy food, buy produce and products that are as local as possible, and also have an opportunity for the rest of their grocery needs, the things that aren't being met from a farmers market, to have those products be as sustainable, as organic as possible too.
For example,
well, I shop at the farmer's market for the bulk of what I need, but mm-hmm. midweek you want to buy your rice or your oats or your dishwashing liquid and sort of that other spectrum of things you want in the home, and to be able to shop for those things in an environment that's about community, where you know your dollars are being put to good use. It's your dollars, your business, and I think people, that's a model that doesn't exist right now in Richmond, and I think people really, really need that.
So you're looking at a full-service grocery store?
Yes, essentially. We will be a brick-and-mortar full-service grocery store mm-hmm. that will be open regular hours. We want people to treat it as their primary store. But in many ways, it'll be so much more, because you'll be shopping with your friends and your neighbors and your community, and we want to be a source for education and really a real centerpiece of the Richmond community.
I like to think of the co-op as a good place to network for all kinds of, not just the products you want, but the information about the products and the foods that you're eating. And there are so many different lifestyles and food diets, and I don't even know what to call it, but there are so many different ways that people like to eat and so many philosophies about eating. And when you get together with a lot of other people who take some of that seriously, you learn a lot. It might not all be for you, but it's still an opportunity to learn without just sitting at home and browsing on your computer. You find out other people's real experiences with things.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And how does that play out in the store environment?
Well, I think as a co-op, it creates a community because people are working together to build it. That's one of the big advantages of a co-op over a private enterprise is that it takes a whole group of people to create it. And so those people become bonded through the work that they do and through the fun that they have together and through the sharing of information. And so it creates a whole community, much more so than going to any other grocery store.
Mm-hmm. And eating and food, we all, or most of us realize that that's a community experience within itself. And so to bring that to the shopping level and shopping in an environment where they're the foods we want to eat. Some in grocery stores now, I don't even know if I touch 95% of what's there. Right. And so as Cheryl said, to be able to network with those other shoppers and learn how other people are eating and why we all care about what we eat is really neat.
I found that shopping in a co-op, from our experience before here in Richmond, it's a much more social occasion than going to any other grocery store. You talk to everybody in the store. You get to know all the employees. It just becomes an avenue to find out about what you're buying. How do you cook it? You know, what do you do with this? You know, what's the best season to get it in? Anything you want to know about your food, you can talk to anybody. Another customer may know as much. Mm-hmm. So it's just it's a good community.
That's for sure. It's a real affinity group. But there's something more basic than that even. Why not just open a nice upscale grocery store? Why do it as a co-op rather than a private enterprise?
Oh, because of the cooperative model. I mean, basically and sincerely, that's what it is really about. It's a contribution to our local economy. It's a powerful model. The UN 2012 was the year of the cooperative. It's a powerful economic engine. And Richmond didn't need, it's also about what Richmond needs. Richmond didn't need another upscale grocery store. It needed a model that we could all contribute to and feel good about being a part of.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the whole idea of how it's capitalized through member equity, you pay your equity up front. And therefore, all the money doesn't come from one person, and all the decisions don't come from that one person. It comes from the community of people, the members who join it. And we're trying to collect people who are sort of like-minded in wanting to focus on local and organic. And, you know, the food philosophy will grow with the people who end up being involved in it. But, you know, if you just have one person who owns it, it's just what they want. So it's not going to be organic in that it grows with the needs and desires of the members like a co-op does.
Would you explain what the economic model is?
Yeah, a co-op, the basic idea is that instead of having one person who either has the money or borrows the money to start a business, mm-hmm. you set a fixed amount, it could be any amount, that everyone pitches in to try to build up that capital, that equity that you need to start the store mm-hmm. or whatever business you're having. Mm-hmm. And then, like in our case, we're going to build up a certain amount of equity so that we have sort of bank credibility, and then we'll be able to borrow some more money. So it's not all going to come from the members, but mm-hmm. Definitely the basic amount of money is going to come from the members.
And then you would expect that the organization itself, the co-op, would get that second loan, that loan against equity.
Yes, yes. So, yes, as Cheryl said, so in order to capitalize this business, about half of it will come from member equity, which is everyone's individual investment into the business. Mm-hmm. One member, one owner, one voice, one vote, and how the cooperative is governed. And then we will actually launch a member loan campaign. Right now we have just over 200 members, and around 400 members we're going to go back to our group and ask that people invest in the co-op to get it off the ground. Mm-hmm. And that is a traditional way of seeding cooperatives. And once we get to that critical amount of money, then part of it will then also be, as Cheryl said, borrowed from the bank. Mm-hmm. So it really is the community lift. It's a little investment from a lot of people, and that's what it's going to take.
Right. Mm-hmm. One person might not have had the resources to create the store,
mm-hmm.
but
exactly.
All of us together do.
Right. Yeah, that is the crux of it.
That's one of those things. We really can do a lot together.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's a good time.
An important message.
So to get back to the products, I mean, it sounds very exciting, and you were talking local. What sort of things do you think that you're going to be able to get local? What is your buying strategy for stocking this?
Right. Well, all our produce will be, I know, I can just see it.
I know, me too. I want you to describe it anyway.
Yeah, I know. All our produce will be as local as possible. If it's in season in Virginia, it will be at the co-op. We will develop further a full food policy document, mm-hmm. where we truly define in a mile radius how local is local, and then we'll have different standards from there, as organic as possible. And yeah, we really, like we talked about, want to be people's full service grocery store too. Mm-hmm. So all of the products, all the necessary other products will be sourced from where we need them, but yeah, as local as possible.
I'd even like to see the co-op have enough of a market to create a demand for some local businesses to start up to supply us with. Maybe someone who wants to can tomatoes or make, which we already have in Richmond, people who make different body care products and herbal products. Those kind of things that are produced locally as well, beyond just agricultural products.
Yeah, that's a great point. And every year, I imagine, we'll get more and more local. That'll be our goal.
The bigger it is, the bigger we'll be able to create a market for someone else to sell to.
That's a good point. That would be a beautiful byproduct of it, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So let's listen to a little bit of music here. Tell me what you think.
If not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when. We may never see this moment or place and time again. If not now, if not now, tell me when. I see sorrow and trouble in this land. I see sorrow and trouble in this land. Although there will be struggle, we'll make the change we can. If not now, if not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when. We may never see this moment, place and time again. If not now, if not now, tell me when. I may never see the promised land. I may never see the promised land. And yet we'll take the journey. We'll walk it hand in hand. If not now, if not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when. If not now.
If not now, written and sung by Carrie Newcomer. This is Lightly on Ground Radio. Susan Hill and Cheryl Marshak are in the live room at Richmond Independent Radio to tell about the Richmond Food Co-op. This is one of a series on economic democracy.
We'll work until it's done. Every daughter, every son, and every soul that's ever longed for something better. Change of heart for this to mend. It will take a change of heart for this to mend. But miracles do happen, every shining now and then. If not now, if not now, tell me when. If not now,
if not now,
tell me when. If not now,
if not now,
tell me when.
Tell me when.
We may never see this moment, place and time again. If not now, if not now, tell me when. And miracles do happen, every shining now and then. If not now, if not now, tell me when. If not now, if not now, tell me when.
How do you grow the equity? And what are you doing? Are you just talking to friends? Are you using social media? Are you having parties?
All of that.
Yes.
All of that.
Plus. I should get on the planning team.
Plus. Yes.
Do you want to be on the outreach committee?
Yes. Cheryl and I are on the outreach committee. We have a robust grassroots marketing campaign to get the word out. It's person to person. We table at events. We also create our own events, too. It really, we work hard to create community around this store that has yet to open. Mm-hmm. But in the interim, before that, we certainly give people a reason to come out and gather together and learn more about the co-op, meet fellow members, and just enjoy this seed of a community. We're all volunteers. And really, this is just going to be the product of our determination and commitment and sweat that we've all put into this. It's become a huge part of my... I don't even remember what I did before the co-op. Did I? I think I read more. Let's just say that. But it's been all-consuming in a really wonderful way.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have a side full-time job that you have to...
Oh, I do. I mean, I work. I work full-time.
Okay.
Yeah, all of us do.
Yeah.
And so this is our social lives. It's good. We have built-in co-op friends now. And yeah, it's just every day spreading the word as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had monthly events at the William Byrd Community House.
Oh, thank you.
To
yes.
Inform people about, you know, what kind of an organization the co-op is, and then also to update existing members on what's happening. And we've had events at different restaurants where we had people come out and have a social event. So there's been a lot going on, really. Mm-hmm. I'd say at least two things every month.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
that's great. And it really does build a community in the literal sense as well as the more esoteric sense. What is the next step for the Richmond Co-op?
Yes, we need 1,000 to open the store, and we're at just about 200. We launched our membership drive a few months ago. Mm-hmm. So we need to hit these critical benchmarks. What's been so helpful, and this is one of the cooperative principles, is cooperation amongst cooperatives. So all of our benchmarks, our budgets, that has all been laid out before us. We're not reinventing the wheel here with the food co-op. All of these, we had a great set of resources to help us plan in terms of the goals we need to hit for membership, and when do we start the member loan campaign, and how much money do we need to open a successful store? So all of that information has been given to us by some nonprofit resources, which is great. So our next step really is to get to that 400 member mark to start the loan campaign. Mm-hmm. And around 500 to 600 members, we'll start to look at a space. We've been looking around Scott's Addition, that neighborhood, as the location for the co-op, but we'll get more serious about site selection as the membership grows. It really is about growing the membership.
Mm-hmm.
The sooner we grow our member base, yeah, the sooner we open.
If we don't have members, we don't exist.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So that's a good point for the listeners to catch. Everyone's talking about the co-op,
right,
but I bet I've talked to half a dozen people today mm-hmm. who aren't yet members.
Well, that's where the strong arming comes in.
And it's really not that expensive to be a member, so it really is something that can be budgeted in and paid and forget about it, and you're a member.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, don't go out and do something else fun that you were going to do this month.
Hey, or you did an even more fun thing.
You joined the co-op. Right. It's a long time.
Yeah. Well, how do you do that? How do you join the co-op? Where do we go?
Oh, well, on our website.
And the website
you can join
is?
On our website. It's richmondfoodcoop.com. You can sign up there. You can mail us a check. You can find us at one of our events and sign up there. We are working on some benefits to membership in these early stages. Our founding and pioneering members that we're just so pleased to have. We've launched what we're calling a buy local campaign, and we have about eight now, I think, participating businesses where co-op members can get discounts from shopping there or buying their goods. So we're working to create benefits now, too, to signing up for the co-op now. And we have a payment plan. You can pay half now, half in 3 months. And we also offer discounted membership for those on government assistance. So just to give you some numbers, it's $125 per adult in a household. And that's your member equity. Uh-huh. That, you would actually get that back if you were to leave the co-op once it's up and running. And then there's a $25 administrative fee per household. So a family, let's say with two adults, it's $275. Mm-hmm. And those on government assistance pay a $10 equity and a $5 joining fee.
Okay, so that's how you would join, and those are the basic fees. Yes. Where do people find out more about your co-op and, I mean, our co-op and
yes.
Richmond's co-op or co-ops in general?
Yeah, on the website we have a great little video. Is that what you call it nowadays? a great little video, and it tells a lot about co-ops. So that's where you can get a little bit of history and understanding of the co-op. And then beyond that, we have a lot of other information on our website, including a calendar, so you can see all the events that we have scheduled coming up. And then to publicize our events, we have a Facebook page. And the Facebook page has been really successful in social networking. We talk about what's coming up. Everybody shares. We share to all our friends. We get our friends to share, and that's another way we get the word out about the fact that the co-op is organizing here in Richmond.
And I'd like to mention, too, while Cheryl brought up Facebook, right now, Michelle Lord, who is one of our founders, she's in Austin right now.
What is she doing there?
I'm gonna brag.
Yeah.
So
good.
On her, brag on the co-op.
Yeah.
It's a national conference that CCMA puts on every year.
CCMA?
Yes. Consumer Cooperative
Management
Association.
Okay, CCMA.
Just throw that acronym around.
Well, once people are in the co-op scene, they know this stuff.
And we want a scholarship to go there.
Really?
Which is quite an honor. And they've really recognized Richmond as doing great work. We're all together. We're really doing good stuff. So Michelle is there now completely soaking up all sorts of cooperative management and principles and just really learning a lot of tools that can really help us now. Cheryl and I were just commenting on how timely this all is because we started our membership drive, like I mentioned, a few months ago. But where we are at this point is the product of over a year of planning and research and pulling together key people in Richmond to be on these committees and help us get this off the ground. So it's great that she could be there. And I think a real honor for us to be picked out of a national pool of applicants mm-hmm. to be there. So I'm really proud.
Yeah, it's a really valuable conference, too. There's so much educational information about how to run your co-op there. So mm-hmm. it is really valuable for us to have that now.
Well, it sounds like you're really doing everything possible to really be well prepared to open
yes.
a, good-sized business. And
we are. It's our intention, and again, it goes back to how quickly we grow our membership base, but I don't want to be talking to you in 5 years about co-op planning. We are opening the store.
We'll be expanding in
Yes,
5 years.
We'll be expanding
we'll
that. Exactly. We'll have satellites all over the city is right. Our goal, ultimately. Hmm. But we want this to happen right. We want to do it right. And we want it to happen soon, though. We really want to capture this momentum and this excitement about this business and let it take off.
Well, that's great. I'm really glad to hear that we have another cooperative going on here, because as we look to the future, we realize that we can improve what's going on by cooperations. Businesses don't need to compete with one another, because there are plenty of people to shop everywhere.
Sure.
There are.
But it's nice to have an option where you really have an ownership in it.
Yeah, exactly. And just not accepting the status quo. And if we're not pleased with what's out there right now, well, let's do something about it together.
Mm-hmm. If not now, when?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Well sung.
Yes. Yes. So do you have anything planned in the near future having to do with this co-op?
Yes, we have a wonderful first annual Richmond Food Co-op picnic coming up Sunday, June 23rd at Bryant Park Shelter 1 from 1 o'clock to 5 in the afternoon. There's going to be live local music. There will be games. Remember all that you need to say.
So it's a picnic. So you're bringing your own basket
Yes. And there's all the details are on the website, or we have a Facebook event page for it. So you can get more information on how to order a picnic if you don't want to bring your own. And
some of the prizes?
Yes, there's going to be a raffle for a wonderful prize.
Great. Okay.
Yeah, please come out. We want to create, a community of current members and prospective members.
And get to know each other
and
better.
And get to know each other.
Yeah, exactly. Great. Yeah. Okay. So, well, this conversation was recorded in the live room at WRIR, Richmond Independent Radio, and produced at Epic Gardens. The theme music is Rattlemouth's Bonefire Dance, and the incidental music was If Not Now by Carrie Newcomer. You can befriend us on Facebook as well, so you'll know who will be on the show and when podcasts are available, and so you can participate in the discussion. So we'll see you on the radio again in a couple of weeks. Until then, walk in the light and live lightly on the ground.